quarter past ten, Words and Music takes the theme of obsession.
Art revealed on the BBC.
For BBC Two, the art critic Valdemar Januszczak explores the Impressionists and their revolutionary techniques that changed art forever.
Brushes were the key to Impressionism. Without the latest brushes, applying the latest colours in the latest ways, Impressionism couldn't have happened.
New techniques that led to a new view of the world.
The Impressionists were trying to be true to life, to make everyday life a suitable subject for art.
The Impressionists continues this Saturday night at 8 o'clock on BBC Two.
You're listening to BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM on digital radio and online. It's 11:30, time now for Jazz Lineup with Julian Joseph.
Hello, have a listen to this. Listening to a band made up of around 16 different nationalities and hosted by a different country each year. For the last 5 years, Jazz Lineup sends a budding jazz player to take part in the annual European Jazz Orchestra. The aim is to form a band that will thrive from the interplay and experience given from the varying personalities and styles. This year's host nations were Estonia and Finland, and the cities of Tallinn and Turku are the current joint European cities of culture. The player representing the UK was trombonist Patrick Kenny, who hails from Edinburgh, but is currently at the Guildhall School of Music and Drama in London. The 17-piece band was directed by Finnish-born composer and conductor Jere Laukkanen, and the band toured Germany, Denmark, Poland, Sweden, Norway, Latvia, Estonia and Finland. Before we meet Patrick, let's hear the opening item from the band. This is a composition by Jere Laukkanen, and he calls it Ragamuffin. Thank you.
Thank you.
The European Jazz Orchestra 2011 and Ragamuffin, composed by its director Jure Laukkanen. And representing us on trombone is Patrick Kenny, and he's here with us. Patrick, we had solos there from a gifted German pianist called Pablo Held and fellow trombonist Vid Skiner.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell us a bit about those guys. Did you bond together with these?
Absolutely. Everyone in the band bonded really well, actually. Both fantastic musicians and people, and really great to play with.
Tell me a bit about the preparation. You're chosen to represent the UK, so how did that feel, first of all?
Yeah, a bit of daunting. Before you prepare to go out on the road, you're really thinking how to pace yourself, how to deal with the travel especially. Average of 9 hours travel a day, crossing borders all the time. We had overnight ferry journeys, playing a gig the next day. We also had to set up a PA and sound system before each gig and de-rig it, and we all had individual jobs. So it was a lot of work, but it was an absolutely fantastic experience.
Jure seems like quite a character, the director. I mean, that first composition, Ragamuffin, he tells a great story about that. Do you want to share that with the audience out there?
Duke Ellington and Jelly Roll Morton were sitting in the same bar.
But where?
Where? I can't remember where. I thought
it would have to be somewhere particular for the name to be Ragamuffin, you see? Now, Ragamuffin is a term used by Jamaicans.
Uh-huh.
And so the bar was in Jamaica. And that's what makes sense, because imagine these guys in Jamaica, and I think that's quite an interesting story. He seems to have a good sense of humour. You were playing a mixture of well-known standards, some in the Cuban frame, and compositions by Jure. Tell us about playing each of those compositions. What pieces were you playing so far, anyway?
A whole variety of pieces. Not all of them. Some pieces were cut for different performances as well.
Sure.
Some of the main pieces were Ragamuffin by Jure, Air by Raoul Soot, Obatala by Jure, What Is This Thing Called Love, an arrangement by Raoul Soot, Icebreaker Son, which was written for our bassist, as he is the son of the captain of the only icebreaker in Estonia, The Missionary, which was written by Jure, and Manteca by Jure.
Well, let's get straight to the music, and Air is the next piece we're going to hear. Maybe you can give us a little heads up on the tune. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's a very textural piece, and it's got a beautiful flugel playing from our lead trumpet player, Bjarke. It's a very mellow piece, very calm, and yeah, it's very well written. Thank you.
Air by Raoul Soute, and that was the European Jazz Orchestra 2011. And Patrick, Raoul is the other composer featured other than Yero.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Quite an interesting writer there.
Yeah, very interesting writer. He had a huge variety in his compositions, actually.
And the featured soloist there on flugelhorn was Bjarke Nicolaisen, a very talented player.
Absolutely. He had an incredible strength and a beauty to his playing as well. So absolutely fantastic all-round player.
Tell us the other guys in the trumpet section.
Quentin Gomery, who's from Paris, Hayden Powell from Norway, and Simon Millard from Canada.
We actually talked to conductor Jere Laukkanen and asked him about composing for this band.
Well, I mean, it was a great experience to have all these musicians from, you know, different countries in Europe and, you know, all this multicultural thing happening, and a great tour, you know, 2.5 weeks of, you know, very tightly scheduled rehearsals, and then you know, 13 gigs in Denmark, Germany, Poland, Sweden, Norway, Sweden again, Latvia, Estonia, and finally Finland. So, I mean, it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. So, I mean, it was so great. All the musicians had actually made their homework pretty well. So, obviously, you know, just a couple of my tunes were recorded beforehand, and none of Raoul Soute's, the other composers. So, I mean, my job was to bring the music together. And, you know, we only had 2 days of rehearsals, so it was very tight. But we made a couple of very long days, and we finally made it. So I think it was pretty ready.
Jere Laukkanen speaking about working with the European Jazz Orchestra 2011. Patrick, to the next piece, and this features you. And I know that Jere is a big fan of Afro-Cuban music and generally the Cuban style and history.
Yeah, he is. He's got his own group called the Afro-Cuban Finnish Jazz Orchestra, I do believe.
It sounds like an oxymoron.
It's but it's a great, and he's written quite a lot for that group, and this song has a great mix of things in it.
Particularly rhythmic, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very rhythmic. It's got a strong 12-8 feel in it.
And Obatola, which is the name of the piece, is a Cuban deity, meaning creator of man.
Yeah.
It features not only you, but also the keyboard player from Germany.
Yeah, Pablo Held, yeah.
And what do you think of him? Did you enjoy playing with him in particular?
Oh, yeah, it was fantastic. He just latched onto anything you were doing, I think, and a very sensitive player.
Do you think there are a few players in this band that you're going to record with?
I would like to meet and play with many of the people in this band. In fact, anyone in the band.
Did this next piece offer you some challenges, particularly as you were featured so heavily?
Yeah, it was challenging, and also on the tour to pace yourself. I actually had another solo at the start of the tour, but I sacked it off, so to speak, because it was just so heavy every day playing, a large amount of travelling, and then playing 3 solos in 1 gig in a big, big band set. It was very difficult. And it was it was fine. It was a fantastic experience. But you have to prepare for these things and pace yourself throughout each gig. Once you're 14 gigs in, you have to really think about that, especially as a brass player with your chops.
And that's quite a luxury now for a jazz group, to play 14 straight gigs,
yeah,
as part of a tour.
Yeah, I mean, I feel incredibly lucky to be in part of this experience. And it's a really quite a one-off experience to have been able to do something like that. And you don't, as you say, especially these days, you don't usually get to go out on tour with the jazz group for when we're on the road. It was 16 days and 14 gigs and 16 days traveling some 4,000 or 5,000 kilometers. Yeah.
Well, let's hear how you did on Obatola. Thank you. Our UK representative on trombone, Patrick Kenny, featured there on Obatola, a composition written by Jere Laukkanen, the director, and also featured German pianist Pablo Held. Now, that's quite an interesting piece of music to listen to because it starts with that sort of 6-8 feel. It establishes that feeling, and then it moves into in and out of the triplet to duple time.
Yeah, and then it kind of goes into kind of shuffle funk feel towards the end. Yeah, it's an interesting kind of mix of fusion of styles.
And that gives you a lot of things to grab onto when you're soloing.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's the kind of thing that you've got to be careful not to do too much with. I mean, there's a lot of stuff to grab onto there, absolutely. And it's great. It was great interacting with the guys in the rhythm section, really responsive.
Patrick, your background on the trombone, how long have you been playing jazz? How long has it absorbed you in?
I've been listening and I've been interested in jazz since I was about 12, and so that's 10 years now. Mm-hmm. I'm actually studying classical at college. I've never really studied jazz as such. I've always had a very, very keen interest in it, and it's something I really now want to follow more and more and more in my musical direction in life.
What constitutes studying jazz when you're playing in a jazz big band?
I go to college with a lot of guys who are studying jazz, so for me, that's studying jazz. I have a lot of work, that especially on my jazz, that I know and want to do in the future. We all continue to strive to find new things in our playing and to get better. And indeed, classically and straight playing, I have a huge amount, obviously, I want to do as well.
So you'd like to pursue a classical career as well as a jazz one?
I'm not quite sure where I'm going to be even 5 years from now. I love doing especially funk stuff and session type stuff. I absolutely love doing that.
In your personal practice, though, how are you dealing with the jazz side of your playing?
I'm practicing, I would say, you could say licks and stuff, and practicing over certain sequences. There's a limited amount I can do at the moment, really. Because
so building vocabulary.
Yeah, and there's a limited amount I can do, personally, actually, at the moment, because of some of the restraints I have at college.
So do you find there's a conflict between your study in jazz and your classical study?
I wouldn't say there's a conflict. I would say it's very difficult to keep headway in both fields. Classical has a completely different feel for first. Articulation is completely different. Time, also, you could say, I mean, time's the same, time's constant, but it also, you know, everything in time-wise has a different feel as well. So I would say main things, articulation, time, sound as well. I mean, sounds from a classical player to a jazz player is hugely different. There's different ways to express yourself. And I think it's about trying to set dividing lines. Try to.
Well, before we finish here, I'm going to set you a task to do with your classical and jazz study. But we're going to move on now to a great piece in the jazz lexicon called What Is This Thing Called Love? And there's also a different take on this piece. Raoul Soot arranges this piece. Tell us, give us a little background to What Is This Thing Called Love?
Raoul's arranged it in a kind of 12-8 backbeat groove kind of feel. Mm-hmm. It features our lead tenor player, Miroslav Poprady, and also our drummer, Janko Novoselic. Raoul's changed the form a bit as well. It's great.
Given it a different reimagining.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, let's have a listen to What Is This Thing Called Love, arranged by Raoul Soot. Thank you. What is this thing called love? Played by the European Jazz Orchestra and arranged by Raoul Soot. You're listening to Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Julian Joseph. We're listening to the 2011 European Jazz Orchestra, and representing us on trombone, or the UK I should say, is Patrick Kenny, and he's here with us. Next piece we're going to hear is called The Icebreaker's Son, and I'll let Yere introduce it.
Thank you so much. And next, we will do an original of Raoul's, and its name is Ja Löhkuja Poeg, which means the icebreaker's son. And the icebreaker's son today is Petukas on bass. Thank you.
the European Jazz Orchestra 2011, and that was The Icebreaker Sun, written by their director, Jure Laukkanen. And that's quite a poignant title, isn't it? Written for the bassist, Pedukas.
Absolutely. And Pedu was... He is the son of the captain of the only icebreaker in Estonia. Russia has a few icebreakers based around St. Petersburg to break the ice in the Baltic Sea so that the ships can travel up to the cities to deliver the goods. And each country owns one, Finland as well, one or two, but Estonia owns one. And Pedu's father is the captain of that ship. He was in the audience, and Raoul had written this piece especially for the European Jazz Orchestra to feature Pedukas. So it's quite a special occasion, and this concert was also in Tallinn, so he had a lot of home support as well.
Sure. And did his performance of this particular feature change quite dramatically each time?
It changed, it shaped. You could hear it being shaped and changed on different performances. He used bow at the beginning of some performances, just plucking. He used different effects as well. So he changed it about a lot, actually. I think he really gave it the best performance on that night, actually. It was really special.
The next piece is called The Missionary, and in this piece, Jere pulls in West African influences. This is something he seems to be quite passionate about, the drum.
Yeah, he absolutely loves his West African influence. I think he spent some time over there, and he's drawn a huge amount of influence in there, and he loves the fusion and the sound. And also, I mean, it's quite clear from his group, the Afro-Cuban Jazz Orchestra based in Helsinki, that he really devotes a lot to this kind of style.
Yeah. For you, is that quite nice? Because, you know, he obviously has a real artistic direction, and sort of him directing the band brings that influence and that leaning to everything he does, and so it must benefit all of you.
Pretty much everyone on the tour was an inspiring person to meet and be around in some kind of way.
But because he's writing the arrangements and you're doing his compositions, mm-hmm. I mean, let me not diminish the contribution of Raoul Soot, but I think him in particular, because he's also the one communicating with you as well.
Yeah, it was a great way to get inside his music, of course, because he was giving us all the instruction, and it was exactly how he would have wanted it, basically. So he was with us every step of the way, so to speak.
Once again featured is Miroslav Poprady on tenor and Mariki van Dyk on the alto. Well, let's have a listen to The Missionary. Thank you. The Missionary by the European Jazz Orchestra 2011, a lovely 3-4 piece there, featuring the saxophone talents of Miroslav Poprady on tenor and Marike van Dijk on the alto. And also opening that up was Ivan Tsonkov on percussion. I'm in conversation with Patrick Kenny. Great sense of harmony going on there, Patrick.
Yeah, beautiful harmonies. Again, lots of West African influences, but I mean, unconventional harmony. Yeah, employed in a great way.
Well, just prior to the finale, we spoke to the producer from Finnish radio, Markus Patanen, who assembled the band and conductor and composer. We asked him to sum up the project.
It was an interesting project because we had combined like two countries, two cities, which luckily were the European culture capitals this year, Tallinn and Turku. And then we combined two composers, Jere Laukkanen, who was also the conductor from Finland, and Raul Sört. Well, I've known Jere for a long time, and you know, he has had his, or still has, his own big band, which is a very rare thing in Finland to have your own big band, like with no public support. But it's been quite a while since they played the last time, but you know, I knew Jere very well, that he has a capability of leading a big band. He's a big band composer. He's been at least twice, possibly even three times, composing his own like concert for Umo Jazz Orchestra. So we knew that he's a very competent composer, big band leader. Plus, he works all the time with young musicians because he runs the pop jazz education line in the Metropoli. Well, it's not university, but very near university, upper like conservatory, you could say. So Jere is in the charge of jazz education there. So he's very familiar how to, you know, work with young musicians, plus the big band like a experience he has.
Markus Patanen from Finnish Radio. So to the finale now, and Patrick, we've been listening to the piece and you've been reminiscing. What do we have to look forward to in this final piece?
It's a Dizzy Gillespie classic arranged by Jere. It's got a lot of punch to it. It's a real bang finale piece.
Has it sparked your interest in Afro-Cuban music?
I've listened to Afro-Cuban music before, many other types of music. I've had the privilege of playing in other world music groups such as the Grand Union Orchestra here in London as well. But it's a new slant on it, and it's superb music, and it was fantastically arranged.
And on this final piece, Manteca is called, you feature on this.
Yeah, and it has the trombonist from Slovenia, Vids Gajna, and me having a trombone conversation, or battle, you could say, which way you look at it. And we're the first set of solos up. Then after us are three of the trumpet players, Simon Millard from Canada, Hayden Powell from Norway, and Bjarke Nikolaisen, lead trumpet from Denmark. And on drums is a massive great thrash from Janko Novoselic, and he's from Croatia.
Well, that's the European Jazz Orchestra 2011. A good experience for you?
An incredible experience. I mean, what a privilege to be part of a group like that, and a one-off opportunity, quite literally as well, because you never get to do it again. Everyone got on really well.
So let's hear that finale. This is Manteca by Chono Pozzo and Dizzy Gillespie, and arranged by Jere Laukkanen.
Thank you.
Manteca and the European Jazz Orchestra 2011, featuring there on the drums Janko Novoselic from Croatia, and our very own Patrick Kenny took the trombone duties there. Thank you so much, Patrick, for coming in and speaking with us. What are you up to next?
Well, I'm continuing my studies. I've got a lot of practice to do. I've got a few projects on the go, including a funk band I play a lot with at the moment called Function. We've got an album coming out at the end of August, beginning of September. Got auditions for certain avant-garde music groups and orchestras. That'll be fantastic.
Thank you, Patrick. Well, we wish you the best of luck with all of that, and the advice I promised I'll give you when we finish doing the show. Well, that ends Jazz Lineup for this week. Jazz on 3 is on the air, as usual, at tomorrow, with a session from the Steve Lehman Trio with special guest Byron Wallen on trumpet. And Claire Martin returns to this seat with a piano duet from British pianist Tim Lapthorne and Ross Stanley. Till next time, from me, Julian Joseph. Bye-bye.
Welcome to Through the Night on Radio 3, music taking you right through to breakfast. I'm Susan Sharp with you till then, and hoping you'll enjoy the music in the programme. To begin with this morning, Diego Fazolis conducts the soloists and chorus of Swiss Radio and Television Lugano and I Barocchisti in sacred music by two 18th century Italians, Giovanni Battista Sammartini and Andrea Bernasconi. Giovanni Sammartini was one of two brothers, both oboists in the Teatro Regio Ducale in Milan. The elder brother was Giuseppe. And though Giovanni worked mainly as a church musician, nowadays it's his 70 or so symphonies he's known for. But we're going to hear his setting of Beatus Via. Thank you.
A setting of Beatus Vir from 1765 by Giovanni Sammartini. The other work in this concert, given by the chorus of Swiss Radio and Television Lugano and I Barocchisti, is by Andrea Bernasconi, who also spent some of his working life in Milan. Interestingly, for 9 years, from 1744, he was maestro di cappella at the Ospedale della Pietà in Venice, where Vivaldi had earlier held the same post. His later years were spent in Munich, where he eventually became Kapellmeister. Bernasconi was first and foremost a composer of vocal music, operas, and then latterly church music. This is his setting from the 1750s of the Miserere.